This is the top video game podcast from HorribleNight.com of the week. HorribleNight.com of the week? Top video game podcast of the week. Sometimes I forget that phrase. I mean, it's the one that completes the whole nonsensical name. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. It is Thursday night, October 24, 2013, coming at you live on Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. Joined this evening by one Andrew Cooper. I like to slow down when I say his name because it freaks him out when I call him Andrew.
It sounds weird.
I always feel like you're in trouble. Everybody,
Coop and I... Why is he calling me Andrew?
Coop and I work together, and during the day, some of our project managers refer to him as Andrew, and that always makes me laugh. It's like, oh, you're trying to be nice to him and suck up, but... yeah, you don't know Coop. What has... Yeah, I know you haven't had much time for gaming, but... well, we still have plenty to talk about, but outside of games, what's been going on?
I've been getting back into music recording. I kind of, as you know, do it in spurts.
Yeah.
I'll get real motivated, and I have about a week to crank a bunch of stuff out before I lose my motivation. But I've been, my brother-in-law wrote a punk song for his wife for their anniversary.
Oh, and, I wonder what you two were up
actually,
to.
Yeah, actually, he didn't write it for their anniversary. He wrote it for their wedding. Originally, and I helped him do like an acoustic version because we didn't have enough time to really record the whole thing, but he always wanted to redo it as the true punk song it was supposed to be, so we've been working on that. I've practiced with him a couple times.
That's the first in a while that you've done like your original music and not just your chip tunes.
Yeah. So it's been fun. We've been going over to Spencer's house and doing some of the recording, but it's been rough. Well, for one, I don't really listen to punk music, so trying to come up with
punk riffs,
with some guitar, with riffs that work with his song has been tough. But
well, that's me assuming
it's coming together.
Are you just playing guitar? Or are you helping with anything else?
I'm just playing guitar. And he actually has another guy playing rhythm guitar already. I'm just doing leads and solos and stuff.
You're Kirk Hammett.
Yeah, I'm Kirk Hammett. So.
Interesting.
So yeah, we're trying to crank that out. It's his anniversary is next week, so we kind of got to get it together. We started recording yesterday.
Oh shit!
2 days ago. But we've been practicing all. Well, they've been practicing all month. I've practiced like 3 times. So I was trying to get my stuff up and running again here at home, so I can just try and lay some stuff down here. Because I actually do better by myself than when I'm sitting in a room with 3 guys watching me, waiting for me to do something awesome.
Sure.
But yeah, it's kind of gotten me in the mood. So hopefully after I get this done, I'll keep going.
Well, based on your video game selection lately, maybe you should just live stream you fucking around with your guitar.
Yeah. I thought about it, actually. It sounds cool in theory, but it'd probably be really boring.
I've been spending most of my time getting ready for our charity marathon, which will be next Saturday, November 2nd, from noon to noon, which I discovered is 25 hours and not 24, so we'll be making adjustments accordingly, because daylight savings time. I can't remember if, I doubt Europe has anything like that, but I'll be curious to see if that, what that does to our European audience, if they, tune in and expect us to stop playing, and we keep going for an extra hour. So I don't know. We were dragging ass last year at about hour 22. Yeah, so I'll be curious to see how we do. But we've got more gamers this year, and I'm excited about the game jam portion. We've got 4 or 5 game developers that'll be working on a few different games. We'll check in on that throughout the evening. But I was over in our new location. And just basically testing a bunch of different network speeds and just different things could pop up during the show. I think we're set. Right now, we're just trying to nail down all the games. I have a list of 80 potential charity marathon games that I'm trying to nail down. And that hasn't even really scratched the surface of the retro games. Look forward to seeing a bunch of at least... local multiplayer games, and then I think we'll break off, and I'd like you to do like a Dark Souls section with our full audience, and just I think that kind of stuff should be fun. But
that'll go well. I haven't played in a while.
And you'll have a nice supportive audience, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We won't be assholes because we're taking donations for Child's Play. Why would we be jerks?
We could do like bets. So have bets against like if I'm going to beat bosses or not, and if you lose and you have to donate money.
That could be fun. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I could. I'd make some wagers for and against you, and if you fail or whatnot, I can donate that money to Child's Play. That could be interesting. Because I always end up giving money at the end after donate. We've got our final tally. But yeah, that could be. I could have like an ongoing.
I'd watch your wagers against failures. You might want to bet low.
Well, it depends on the game, but
yeah, that's true. But yeah, no, I'm hoping we have more energy this year. I know the first year I thought it went really well, and I'm hoping this is more like that because, you know, last year there were just, like four of us in the room?
Yeah, four or five of us, yeah.
And there just wasn't as much, I mean, we were all kind of sitting on a couch and there wasn't as much going on where the year before when we were at Netheads, it just seemed like constant action all the time, which I think helped you get going a little more, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully with more people.
We've got some ideas for, like, I don't know if we'll do the Lego challenge or not, but like some tabletop gaming. We'll have other machines going on. We'll be live streaming from one machine, but we might have other games like Minecraft going on in the background, and then we'll check in with the Game Jam guys, and that should keep the energy level up. We'll just keep rotating people in and out. So last year there was a lot of pressure for all four of us to play the entire 24 hours, but I think we'll do more of like two or three at a time and rotating around. So it should be fun. Yeah. Either way, it's for a good cause, so...
It looks like I'm getting recruited into writing music for all the Game Jam games, so
probably.
We'll see how much I get to play.
We'll start you off with Dark Souls, you'll get pissed off, and then just write music the rest of the time.
Nice. Write some angsty music.
This is our weekly interactive podcast where I post questions of the week up on our Facebook page. And if you're in the audience, you can throw out your answers, and we'll talk through those alongside our own. We start off with game of the week, and my game of the week, since I'm on this mission to complete as many games as possible before we get into our game of the year discussion, and after finishing Tomb Raider, Bioshock Infinite was up on the list, and I live streamed my first 4 hours back into that game. And one thing I realized too, well, when I jumped back into Tomb Raider, I didn't realize I was playing that game on hard difficulty until I just died a lot. I mean, I die quite a bit. I think it actually helps my live streams with how inept I am at video games sometimes. But I was dying more than usual, and I had that game to set to hard, and then I came to discover that when I stopped playing Bioshock Infinite, I was also playing that game on hard. So I restarted, and I'm playing it on normal this time because I really just want to get through the story, and especially the parts that I've played through before. I got about four.
They make a pretty big jump between normal and hard in their games.
Yeah, those guys become some serious bullet sponges. And
yeah.
I mean, I think it's really fun. I think Bioshock Infinite's really fun on hard, but that's not what I'm playing it for this time. I wouldn't say, you know, normal's not easy, but it is easier because... When I started running into the mini bosses, that crow guy at first, like, I remember dumping tons of ammo into him, and he went down pretty easily, so... I recommend normal if you want to breeze through it, but do give it a try on hard, because I have a feeling... You know, Halo always had that veteran setting that said, this is what you should play it at, this is what we designed it for, and I feel kind of like that's what hard... is on Bioshock Infinite. Like, people that complain a little bit about its gameplay, like, try it on hard or bump it up a bit, and the challenge ramps up pretty quick.
I did read a blog post, though, that they recommend, or it was meant to play on normal. Like, that's what...
Really?
Well, and I think it's mainly because they want you to focus on the story, and it gets a lot harder on hard, and people... you know, are more concerned with just completing it and everything. But yeah, they did actually, I think Ken said that the game was written to play in normal mode, but they put hard mode in there's an even harder mode after you beat it that you can unlock.
Yeah.
That's there just for the challenge.
Because, I mean, Bioshock until you kind of figure out some of its tricks, the original BioShock was pretty difficult. Like, I remember.
Yeah.
And then System Shock 2, that game's hard. So, you know, but it, you know, I like playing it on hard where you get to really experiment with your different powers and try just different combinations of clear rooms. And I think that's when that game's combat shines, is when you're just kind of toying with everything. And
yeah,
rather than just, you know, right now I feel like I can just run in and gun everybody down or stay back and snipe them and kind of takes care of business. But I'm also, you know, barely halfway into the game. I think I'm probably about a third of the way through, and it,
yeah,
I'm sure it'll ramp up. I haven't even really run into very many special enemies, but
it definitely has some areas where you have to use the environment a little more, mm-hmm, like some battles with the rails and stuff.
The rails are so awesome. Like,
they are. They did a good job with the rails.
You and I took a trip to Cedar Point recently, and I don't know. It just, I was
yeah. I thought BioShock.
Yeah, I was riding those rails, and I'm like, oh, they need to have a BioShock ride where you get a sky hook. That'll be safe.
Yeah, they just strap something to your arm and you hang on.
I don't think that would work. But you played through this game like right after it came out and kind of blew through it.
Yeah.
What kind of
I played it pretty quick.
What kind of sticks with you, like spoiler free, like looking back at that game? Is it one of your better games of the year?
You know, when I first played it, I thought that it was going to be, but I don't know. I think it kind of suffered from, it had so much hype, and I tried not to let the hype affect, because it's a great game. After I played it, I didn't have the same feeling I did after I played the first one. Because, you know, I remember hearing about the first BioShock. I got through the end, and I was just like, man, that game was ridiculous. And BioShock Infinite's good, and the story was really good. They did some cool stuff with it. But I don't know. I actually had more fun with Tomb Raider, which I played right after BioShock Infinite. But it was kind of, I don't know, it was kind of different, though. I really like the action stuff in Tomb Raider, like a lot of the movie cinematic stuff. And, you know, I'm not super familiar with the Tomb Raider series. That's actually the first one I've played through.
I realize that.
Yeah, I mean, I played some of the older ones, like maybe an hour, but I never really got into Tomb Raider. But, I don't know. It's a contender for my game of the year, but I have to. It's definitely not a easy selection, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But no, I mean, it was good to the end. I got to. It didn't end how I thought it was going to end.
Yeah.
I guess is a good way of saying it, which is expected. You know, it's BioShock. It never ends how you think it's going
to
end.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to actually participating in that conversation at some point this year.
Yeah, that's why I'm, you know, we'll get to it later, but I was kind of excited that you were playing it so we could finally talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had to kind of, you know, it was one of those, it got to a point and I had to sit there and think about what happened for a little while to try and see if I actually understood what just happened in it, which, you know, is good and bad. But, you know, it definitely had me thinking for a while, and I actually went and did some research to see what other people thought of the end of the game, too, which I guess is good. That's probably what they wanted you to do.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good game.
Cool. Yeah, I will hopefully get that wrapped up here in the next couple of weeks, because the games are about to start coming out. I'm actually crossing my fingers that, well, I'll get to that, never mind. Your game of the week, however, I've been giving you a hard time to your face and behind your back about playing Dead Island, because I know what your game library looks like, and I'm just like, what the why are you deciding to play that now when there are plenty of other games to play?
I don't know. I got through a couple games that I was working on, and I hit that point of, you know, my library is huge, and I have probably 250 games that I haven't played, you know, if we go all the way through the backlog. But it's just that overwhelming decision of what to play, and when that happens, I pick the most random stuff, as you can tell.
Yeah.
And it's probably been more of a time killer. I'm playing it while I'm trying to decide what to play.
Yeah, definitely.
Because realistically, I can stop playing at any time and not really care. But it's been fun. I mean, it's not a good game, but You know, I started, well, when I first started playing it, I had it on PC, or I'd have it on PC. I had it on Xbox first. And I started the character that's good with guns, and then got a little ways into the game and figured out that you don't really get guns very quickly, and bullets are very scarce. Mm-hmm. So I stopped playing it.
Yeah, because you like guns.
Yeah, because I want to shoot these zombies, and there are no bullets. So I stopped playing, and then didn't touch it again until, you know, we played at the marathon, which kind of really burnt me out on it.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what we were doing.
That was...
But we were just tired, and we're in trucks, and...
Trucks are funny. When you're been up for 30 hours.
So, I was done with it for a while, but I don't know why. It was still installed on my computer, and I saw it there, and I was like, yeah, maybe I'll try somebody else. And I tried this little Asian girl who's good with knives, and it's actually really fun. She has a rage mode where she goes crazy and just starts cutting heads off, which is pretty satisfying. So
nice.
It's my buffer. It's my buffer game. I got to figure out what to play.
Yeah, I was going to say, chat, help us out. Other games that came out this year that Coop needs to play before the end of the year. Throw them out while I go over our community answers of the week for their game of the week.
We can have a vote for what I play next.
Yeah, we can recap that at the...
You at the, decide.
It's going to stream it, probably, so be careful.
Yeah.
Nobody Aaron's wanna watch me play. Game of the week. Surprise, surprise. Pokemon Y. Not X and Y, just Pokemon. For some reason, I thought he got X. Oh, well. I don't know the difference, so it doesn't matter. lots of Pokemon talk on our last two podcasts, so you can go.
We're not talking about Pokemon.
We don't know. You and I, yeah, that would be an interesting conversation, because we don't know
I don't know anything about Pokemon. Yeah.
Verdean's Game of the Week. It looks like he's engrossed in Arma 3, which I have not tried. I heard it's actually... So Arma is, like, super, you know, military simulator. But I've heard it's just, like, kind of fun for how janky it is, too. So I've been a little bit more curious about that game lately. Justin Gifford and Nate Orlo are playing a bunch of Dragon Age Origins. Did you try that? For some reason, I think you might have.
I did. I don't remember which one it was. I played one for a little bit on PC.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
It was maybe... Maybe two.
No, I never finished it, but I enjoyed the dozen or so hours I spent with it. And yeah, it's a big game. Gifford's going to be busy for a while. and then from chat, we've got Krugdog is playing Mountain Blade Warband. That sounds medieval to me. And Matt's joking, but I'm going to assign his name to Candy Box 2. So. I guess my suggestion, we'll come back to see if chat has any suggestions for you, Coop, but Saints Row 4, man. Saints Row 4 and Enter the Dominatrix, that DLC just came out. So,
oh, yeah.
I think you should waste some time in Saints Row 4.
I probably should. I started it.
Oh, you played on the plane or whatever, didn't you?
I did. I started it on my way back from Germany. I preloaded it before I left because it came out while I was over there. And I was expecting it to not work, but I put Steam in offline mode and had it preloaded and was just hoping that it would be smart enough to know what day it was and let it work, and it totally did. So
I'm going to laugh when your brother, who was on your family sharing account, beats that game.
Beats all my games.
Yeah.
He did beat it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he finished it. He finished it in like 3 days.
Maybe I should have him on the show.
We should have. Yeah, he's actually blowing through my library. He was playing Dishonored all day today. So
he's probably finished all 250 of those games that you haven't touched.
Probably.
HorribleNight.com. Yeah. What'd you notice on the site recently?
Well, you know, I go to it every day and read every single article.
Sure.
But
of course.
I love that video Ethan just did on the character the games forgot, the strong female character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even really know what to say about it. It's pretty hilarious. just the fact that it's about this character, this girl that just punches everybody, mixed with the entire time you're just watching shots of video of her punching things, but she's like I don't know, a good 5 feet away from him every time she hits him. That side of it made me laugh. And I don't know. That guy's just entertaining.
It's a good, like, I don't know, 80 seconds of her just punching dudes and then
exploding. I know. Well, and the whole time I was watching it, I was thinking of his Dead Island playthrough where he just kept saying, punching, punching, punching. That's all I heard in my head this whole time. I just see this girl and it's punching, punching, punching.
He should have mixed like that in for the vocal track with that wonderful music he chose. But
yeah, that would have been funny.
I love that he put that video together. He's going to try to do more of those little short little montage videos coming up. But what surprised me about it, and Ethan and I kind of have this problem, like, Ethan does not like it when games journalism takes itself too seriously. And he put this video together essentially to pretend to join the conversation about strong female characters in games. And he's not poking fun at the conversation. He's poking fun at that everybody thinks they need to have an opinion on it, and everybody seems to contribute to the conversation. And I felt bad when some of the comments didn't really get that he posted this more as a joke. Like, it's not, I guess, the topic's not funny, but seriously, he says she's a strong female character because she can just punch really well. And I don't know. That concept to me is hilarious, so.
Yeah.
But lost the stream for a second. That'll be awkward. Anyway, uh-oh. I was just laughing at him going through all that footage of her punching everybody. But we're back. We're back just in time for my horrible night highlight is another Hey article. So what I've done recently with these culture posts is every day on our Tumblr page, which is loot.horriblenight.com, I'm posting lots of cultural links. And but one of those I'll highlight on the site during our Hey series. So this was a Hey listen because the video game music bundle is back, which is kind of similar to the indie game bundles that are out there, except all this money that you're spending on these music collections just goes directly to the artists themselves. So it's just trying to promote video game music. But they put together the game music bundle of The Damned, which was just a bunch of horror soundtrack games. And the one that got my attention was the fact that they threw in the Dead Space 1 soundtrack, which is just some really, really moody shit. And Amnesia's in there, and Limbo, and there's 14 albums total. It was a pretty awesome collection.
Those music bundles have always been pretty awesome. I mean, you get a lot of good albums for what you pay for it.
Yeah, it's like you get, I think I said if you pay a dollar, you get like four or five of them, and then for $5, you get all 14. So, and you can give them more. So and but it's a pretty awesome collection and good timing for them because it's got to be tough to put those bundles together to get the rights to all those albums to sell them that way. But I think they're doing a good thing promoting video game musicians. So,
yep.
All right, worst of the week in gaming. I'm actually going to start with community this time. Aaron's worst of the week is some article that I haven't read. Granny loses her super rare in-game sword through enchantment.
Yeah, I saw that too. I wanted to look that story up and find some more about that.
Let's see what happens. What game is this? She's playing Lineage. You can enchant in-game items to enhance them. If you're unsuccessful, though, the item perishes.
Oh, so she knew that it was going to happen and got pissed because she
wasn't good. There's always a chance, but she tried to enchant an extremely rare sword and failed. And so she sued the video game maker. Oh, man.
That's funny. See, when I first read the summary, I thought that maybe it glitched or something. And I was like, okay, that'd make me mad too. But if you knew there's a chance, you're just gambling.
The woman claimed that she accidentally tried to enchant the sword, adding that she would never actively try to enchant this item. Doing so, she claimed would risk its destructions. Do you get to sue for an accident that you're responsible for? That's really funny, though. I won't say what site that's on, though, just for the record. actually, Verdean has a really good one here. And I don't know if you saw this earlier, but Wild Game Studios is trying to censor the most popular viewed review of their game, Day One, Gary's Incident, which, because the view was pretty negative. So this was a video review, what the fuck is this, WTF is this, from the cynical Brit, who has a ton of YouTube followers, and so what happened was he, you know, sent his request to review this game. They gave him a review code, they know who he is, everything's good. He does his video review and kind of bashes the game, and they went through YouTube's copyright claim systems and got the video taken down immediately, because that's just the way that YouTube has to work around the laws right now. Is anytime somebody claims that they own that content, they have to take it down and ask questions later. And this is becoming a bigger and bigger issue because video gaming on YouTube has obviously been surging in popularity, and there's a lot of people out there that make their livelihood off of their YouTube videos and the ads that they put on there. And so it was really, really interesting to see Cynical Brit. He responded to this, posted basically a video that explained the whole situation and why this is just shady business on the development studio's behalf. And eventually they rescinded the claim and the video's back up. But I think it brought to light a lot of the problems where YouTube needs to adjust that ability to for people to just take down your videos immediately.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. We've had a few weird copyright claims with some of our playthrough videos and our highlight clips, but we're not at a point where we monetarily rely on Horrible Night, but if we had to take that stuff more seriously, oh, you better believe I'd be even more lit up than this guy was. And but yeah, check out Cynical Brit's video explaining the whole situation. I think it'll kind of bring to light the seriousness of the situation. Let's see, other worst of the week, Gifford. He's been talking on Twitter and was kind of upset this week. He started seeing that after all the good work that his friends at Fat Ugly and Slutty have done over the years to kind of promote, to call out bad behavior in online gaming, he's just seen that it's not really doing very much, and that he needs to see a bigger change in that. So he's just kind of dismayed by online gaming still. I haven't really, we just kind of play with our crew. That's one nice thing about having a big Horrible Night crew and our community. We just kind of play games with each other. And, because I still, I built up, my frustration with playing public games a long time ago. So I still have no, desire to really jump out there and deal with some of the bullshit that like is still going on.
Oh man, I just looked over at chat at right the right time.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, it reminded me of exactly what it was like playing, playing in pubs, old Counter-Strike days. But yeah, I'm the same way. That's a tough thing to combat. I mean, there's 12-year-olds are always there. They never go away, and it's you may correct some people as they grow up, but new ones just come. It's a never ending cycle. So I just don't play with them.
Right.
I don't play with anyone.
Yeah, you and I we've been playing a lot more solo games anyway. But
yeah, I'd love to play more multiplayer. I don't play at the same time as anybody else, I guess.
Yeah.
It's hard to schedule things.
I mean, hell, we had our Minecraft server open to the public for all of a week or maybe a weekend, and people jumped in there and started wrecking shit. So I like Gifford's kind of, he's trying to do a call to action, like if you see that or you're around that type of bad behavior, like don't be passive about it, even if it's not offending the person. Like people need to take more action with it. My solution has been just I just play with friends and people from our community. So but yeah, something's got to change it eventually. I'll be curious to see if the reputation systems on the new consoles have anything help it at all. And Valve's always been trying to do stuff to get bad gamers reported, but We'll see.
Now, do they have? I mean, I haven't played anything like Call of Duty in a long time. Do they have any way of, you know, voting to kick somebody off a server? Because that's what we used to do, you know, back in the day. It's all the servers that I played Counter-Strike on were all run by people, so there was usually somebody in there that was an admin, and if somebody was being a dick, you could throw up a vote, and if enough people clicked yes, it kicked them off the server, and that helped a lot. I mean, it kept...
Yeah, I mean, I would just ban people from my Xbox Live list, but and report them, but just never really knew where that stuff went. And I know, you can mute them on Xbox, and I'm sure you can boot them if you're the admin of the PC server, but the hosted servers, that's another issue. But yeah, that's how long it's been since I've dove into multiplayer gaming of that variety, because I don't even know that answer of where they're standing with kicking players, but they're trying. I know it's always a topic of conversation when the new Call of Duty and Battlefield come out, and it's been a topic of conversation with these new consoles, that your reputation will follow you around a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the last game I played online actively with people I didn't know was the Gears of War 3 beta.
Didn't you play a little bit of Counter-Strike Go recently?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did play some Counter-Strike Go. I have a friend who streams as well, and somebody I used to play Counter-Strike with, and she started playing Go, and we did a few ranked matches, which it was fun. I haven't had any problems with Go in that aspect, but it was kind of, I mean, we played online, but we knew our entire team, because if you do the ranked matches, you go in with a team of five, so, and you can't hear the people on the other side in a ranked match, so it kind of...
Yeah, you're playing with your friends again.
Yeah, playing with my friends.
What's your worst of the week, Coop?
I mean, it's not really that bad, but I was a little bummed when I read that Watch Dogs was delayed, mainly because I pre-ordered a PS4 and I don't really know what I'm going to play on it. I mean,
are you wavering in that decision? We've already had one soldier fall.
No, I'll still get it. Because overall, I think I'll play it more. But yeah, I wasn't excited about the lineup to begin with at launch, and I was on the fence with Watch Dogs anyway, because, you know, it's available on PC. So I was like, oh, should I get it on PC or should I get it on PS4? And I kind of convinced myself to go PS4 just to have something cool to play on it. And it did have some extra gameplay, so, you know, that side of it was cool too. But yeah, so now it's delayed. I don't know, maybe I'll download Warframe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be
starting new.
It'll be the indie game stuff. It'll be like,
yeah,
it'll be those free to play games. You know, I don't know if Planet Side 2 is going to be ready at their launch, but just trying out some of that stuff. I will have plenty to mess around with on my PS4, but I don't really. There isn't that launch title that has me excited.
Yeah.
I'm more or less getting it because I know I'm going to get one anyway, and I'm getting one in the fall, I'm probably getting one in the spring, so.
Yeah, I'll probably do the same too, and, you know, I think enough of us have, or pre-ordered the PS4, that's going to be the console I get Destiny on, and the beta for that opens up in January. If you pre-ordered it, you can get into the beta.
Yeah, I forgot you did that, yeah.
Yeah, I did the pre-order so I could play it, so I know I have something to play after Christmas.
Cool.
But yeah, no, I'm not going to bail on it. So, you know, I don't know that there's anything on the Xbox I'm that excited about either. Dead Rising looks cool.
Yep. That's actually ironically the launch game I'm most excited for now, but probably won't be playing it unless some sort of money miracle happens.
It'll still be cool in the spring.
Grimmies just might not be able to acknowledge them until then. We might have to, like, delay next-gen Grimmy Awards until... Like, lump in the 2013 games with the rest of 2014. We'll get creative there if we... Yeah, because most of us probably won't get to play those. So, I'm trying to clear out these games before a bunch of new games start showing up, which next few weeks, things get a little bit busy. So I've been kind of holding out hope, which is against Batman Arkham Origins, which, first of all, it's kind of weird it's being released on a Friday. Because I don't...
Yeah, it is weird.
You know, Nintendo has weird release dates. They do Friday, Saturday, Sunday releases. And usually, but usually, you know, the big game of the week comes out on Tuesday, especially something of Batman's level. So it's kind of weird to have to wait to find out, and I'm kind of annoyed that there's been no early reviews, because I need to know if this game's worth playing, or should I just, you know, go back and play 2 to 3 hours of Arkham City and get my Batman fix before spending $60 on another game. But I don't know, I've been watching the trailers and stuff recently, been getting kind of hyped, and I'm just really anxious right now and waiting the entire week to figure out if this is something I need to work into my schedule. Has been kind of frustrating.
I kind of like the idea of a Friday release, because then you get the whole weekend to play it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can understand. Why isn't it out now? It's ready. It's just sitting in boxes. Could have came out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But you can think of it the other way. It could come out next Tuesday and you get out on Friday instead.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's more, I've been more concerned with the no early reviews, because usually that's a bad sign. But it's also, it's just so weird. And I don't like it when things are... Now's not the time to be weird. This is the time of the year where I need to know what games are out, when they're going to hit, so I can make my schedule. But these games I'm not sure I'm going to buy. It makes things a little bit difficult. So, like, do I need to finish Bioshock Infinite right now? So, speaking of Bioshock Infinite...
You do.
Your best of the week.
Yeah, you playing Bioshock Infinite finally, so we can talk about it.
I tried. I think I tried to get you and Josh and Ethan, because you all kind of blew through it in that first couple weeks to talk about that ending. But yeah, I feel bad for anybody that has waited on me to have a conversation with about that game.
Because I remember the days when I first got my Xbox, where I'd never bought any games, and you know, I was the one that never played anything. And, you know, you still buy stuff before me, but I feel like I'm finishing games before you.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
I beat Tomb Raider.
I'm just getting more and more distracted with indie games. Like every week.
Yeah, you buy a lot more indie games than I do.
Every week has some $5 or $10 game that I was like, oh, I want to try that. And it always cuts into my bigger playthrough. I need to be more disciplined in 2014. We'll figure that out. Let's see. Best of the week from chat. We've got Aaron's is the Stanley Parable developer has politely and easily handled people's discomfort with an image that he put in the game that was some people were calling racist. So there is a an image that actually it's on his link. I'll post that for everybody. But yeah, there was a questionable image that was. It's basically talking about the difference in choice between, you know, helping a third world country and, like, killing all of its civilians. So the illustration that he had was a white man lighting a cigarette of a young black boy's, and then the same white man setting the black boy on fire. So, but yeah, he's received a couple different complaints of it and has removed and patched it from the game and apologized and just... Aaron said handled it professionally. So that's a really fun game, and definitely I'm sure was not his intent with that image, based on some of the other humor in the game, but I can understand why people might be a little taken aback from that image, especially if you're playing that game with kids. So for Dean's best of the week is that Arma 3 released the first episode of its single player campaign in their dev build, so they are building out the full single player campaign there. If you couldn't tell, Verdian, a big fan of Arma 3. Let's see, that's pretty much it from chat. Am I missing anybody? Oh, actually, I forgot all about Ethan because he posted in the wrong damn place. Anybody should know better.
Come on, Ethan. He's fired.
All of his are kind of interrelated. So his game of the week is Skyrim. He's been playing a lot of Skyrim. Worst of the week is that Oblivion won't work on his computer. and his best of the week is that he beat Skyrim, which he's put like 200 hours in that game. I guess he must have just finally seen, he was playing through the Dragonborn DLC, so he must have just seen that through. But he's kind of sad that it's over. But he'll keep playing. I wouldn't worry about him.
He still plays New Vegas.
Yeah. He'll get sucked into all those. My best of the week is all these weird Halloween releases and mods that are coming out all of a sudden. Like, I'm not used to seeing this happen, especially across genres like it has been this week. First, there was Monaco, the multiplayer heist game, added a zombie mode to their game, which I was just kind of like, okay. You know, that's been a while since they've updated that game, and I didn't necessarily attribute to Halloween right away, but should have. But I'm excited about that. They're adding stuff to that game. And then Don't Starve added a Screecher mod, which is just more of a horror mod for it. And then today, I saw that Nintendo is going to release Super Castlevania 4 on the Wii U eShop on Halloween. So, all nice. Kinds of Halloween goodies. More of this, please. I'm probably going to live stream Super Castlevania 4. Or put it, might be my solo game during the charity marathon. Who knows?
Borderlands had that zombie TK add-on, too.
They had that one, and then I still need to go back and play Undead Nightmare from Red Dead Redemption. That's like one of my bigger regrets this gen.
I started that. I forget what I was playing. Oh, I started playing it right after I played Vanquish. And I couldn't take the pace change because Vanquish is just like, you know, nonstop action. And then, jumping back into Undead Nightmare is a lot slower. And
yeah,
it was cool. The pace drove me nuts. So I had to switch to something else and I forgot to go back to it.
That's a good point. I don't think I could jump right back into that right now. I'd almost need to play half a dozen hours of Red Dead because it does have a certain pace to it. The other zombie games we've been playing, but I am a big supporter of Halloween mods, especially to games that I don't know why Monaco decided to add a zombie mode, but awesome. So
why not?
Yeah, why not? All right, Coop, have you decided on, instead of playing Dead Island, what are you going to play next? What?
I don't know. We didn't get any votes in chat, did we?
No. Saints Row.
What games did you say? Oh, you said Saints Row. Yeah, I do need to play Saints Row, especially since I've started it.
Let's see. What else has come out?
I actually probably have. Yeah, let me pull up my games list here. Because I have I probably have 4 or 5 hours in Saints Row.
Mm-hmm. And you were just playing the original Dead Island. You weren't playing Riptide, right?
Yeah, I don't have Riptide. It was just the original.
Did you play any of the Walking Dead? Because I would highly recommend you play The Wolf Among Us. That's only 2 to 3 hours, though.
No, actually, I haven't played The Walking Dead yet. I installed it.
You should,
started it.
You should do
Maybe that.
Maybe
that should be it.
You should do
Maybe
that.
I should play The Walking Dead. Saints Row. Mm-hmm. Saints Row, Walking Dead.
Yeah. What other dumb purchases have I made?
Christopher hated Saints Row 4. Why'd you hate it?
I don't know how you could hate Saints. I mean, I still contend that people need to play Saints Row 3. Like, that is, like, the epitome. But, Saints Row 4 is fun in its own way. So, you can play...
I do need to finish... I need to finish Devil May Cry.
Yes! That would be... that's up there in my games of the year still. So, please... Because you're right. I know where you are in that game, and it's about to take off for you, so...
All right. I need to power through it then because I was getting kind of bored.
Yep.
Not really bored, but
no, I know exactly.
It started to lose me where I'm at. So maybe I'll try that.
All right.
I'm going to finish Hard Reset though. I think one more live stream and I'll beat Hard Reset.
Cool.
It's been fun.
I need to finish up Shadow Warrior. Maybe you should play Shadow Warrior.
Yeah. I'm gonna have a Steam coupon. They've been handing out the Steam coupons like crazy.
Oh yeah, I had a bunch of 10% ones, and then I got a 25% one from there. So,
yeah.
Well, I
used one for that game we're playing tonight, Foul Play, 33%.
Last thing, chat. I'd like your answers on this one too. But if everything was out now, and you had the choice, would you spend money on a new console or like the full-blown Oculus Rift? Because I actually heard a rumor this week that they're working on a 4K resolution Oculus Rift prototype, because everybody's been saying that the 1080p all up in your face doesn't look as good, but it's still
it does an
awesome experience. But
I used one finally.
When did you? What? When did
they
this
had,
happen?
They had one at GDC in Europe. Mm-hmm. I played Hawken on one, and it is. When it's all up in your face, it's the graphics aren't as crisp. You don't the edges look jagged, and it looks a lot lower resolution. Which it's because if it's a 1080p Oculus, it still has to split the resolution between the two screens.
Yep.
So you're not actually getting. Which, if you think about it, I mean, even on a 1080p TV, if you stick your face in front of it, you see all the line. It doesn't look very good. So.
But aside from being picky, was that awesome?
It's pretty awesome. It's awesome. That's all I can really say. I think horror games are going to be ridiculous on it. You actually feel kind of queasy when you're playing it, because you know in Hawken you're flying around in the air. So I was climbing, you know, about as high as I could, and then jumped off, and you can look down, and it actually kind of makes you motion sickness.
Nice.
Yeah, you kind of forget. You lose your orientation on, you know, where you're actually at. It's cool. I'm not sure how long you could actually play it, but
I'd be curious to see what our tolerance ends up being for those, and they'll have to design around that too. Chat's pretty being pretty funny right now. Matt's gonna spend money on a house instead of an Oculus Rift. let's see, Krug Dog's all about the Oculus, and actually, I misread Matt, because he said this cardboard box is getting kind of ratty. I thought he made his own Oculus Rift out of a cardboard box at first. Jordan has a point. He's saying he'd buy a better PC, and because he doesn't want any pink eye from the Oculus.
Would you let somebody else play an Oculus?
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, I put one that's been on a lot of heads.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying at PAX that it was responsible for some pink eye, so somebody rubbed their butt on that Oculus, and it might have been Aaron. Aaron says he rubs his face on everything. I don't know what he does with his butt, though. I am more excited about the Oculus Rift than I am either of the consoles right now. So,
Did you see that game we were looking at in the office today?
We were
What was it called?
I think it's called Alone. Is that right?
Yeah, Alone. That Kickstarter where you're actually playing a game inside the game, so it looks like you're sitting on your couch.
Patrick Klepek on Giant Bomb did a big, like, he plays a bunch of horror games on his live streams, and he demoed all of the Oculus Rift horror games he'd get his hands on. And he said, when he was playing all the other games, like, when something scares the shit out of you and you're wearing the Oculus Rift, your first instinct is to rip the Oculus Rift off your head.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're playing Alone, so this game takes place, you're sitting on a couch, and you look around the room, and then on the TV is the game that you're playing.
Get up and run.
And he said when shit started happening in that game, he would look around the room. He didn't have that instinct to rip off the visor. I thought that sounded really interesting. But yeah, just that whole concept of, you know, playing a game within a game, where does that stop?
But, I figured, you know, if they could make the room that you're sitting in convincing enough, like, I feel like it'd be real easy for somebody to just, like, stand up and take off running if something freaked them out.
Yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
Which could be pretty hilarious.
Cool. I think that's going to do it for Top Video Game Podcast of the Week. For this week, we will see you all in 2 weeks on this show. We're not going to have a show next week. It is Halloween next week, and we will be prepping for the charity marathon. Night Force Action Report will be back on Tuesday, but Top Video Game Podcast will see you in, we'll see you in November for that. So, chat, thanks again for your answers and participating in the show, and Coop, thanks for jumping on here tonight.
Yep.
We will see you next time.